Hey, Coxie. Hey, listeners.
Hello, Warwick. Hello, listeners. How are you?
I think they're pretty good. They can't really tell us, so we don't care.
Jeez, that's harsh. That's not quite where I was going. I'm trying to be
Well,
really authentic here. Hello,
we're
listeners.
both wearing black, so we're feeling a bit dark today, Coxie.
Back in black. Hey, Warwick, did you hear about the rowboat that sank?
And probably someone put a hole in mine to get rid of me, but no, I didn't hear about the robot that sank, Nick.
It was an ordeal.
Gosh. G'day, I'm Woz.
And I'm Nick, sometimes Coxie, mostly Nick.
This is the Tradies in Business podcast, and we're here to share a bunch of tips, ideas, tactics that you can put in place to get change happening in your trade business right now.
If you're really lucky, we're going to entertain you with a few mum jokes, and more importantly, a bunch of fantastic guests that will educate you in all things you need to know about trade business. But we do promise to do it with a whole bunch of fun along the way.
I'm a self-confessed idiot, so strap yourself in and enjoy another episode. Okay. Welcome to another episode, listeners. Great to have you here. There's a segue in there that's not going to set this up to be a very good chat. And I think we're going to go down a bit of a path this morning before we hit record on this episode. I think this could be our first real, like, I don't know if I'd call it controversial, but
I don't
maybe,
think so.
maybe just we can do a bit of role play maybe, and it could be a bit of an ordeal, Nick, this morning. Oh, Greg James, welcome to the podcast,
Thanks, Warwick.
mate.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thank
Thanks for
you.
throwing me under the bus early.
Yeah, no worries. We'll throw you in the boat and put a hole in it, mate. That's what we're going to do this morning.
Oh, good ideas.
So, Greg, you're from Built Environment Building Consultants.
Yes, I am.
Now, I reckon we should ask you who the heck you are, so our listeners can be in the picture of who's Greg?
Greg's just an ex-builder, mate, who got sick of getting hammered in the building industry, and
That's fun.
it's got sick of being a builder, counselor, financier to all his people and trades and subbies and no, the building industry, mate. Yeah, no, I come from the building industry. I started in the building industry when I was 15. I'm now 57. So I've been around for a little while, come through the trades, and then in my late 40s I went to uni while working just to get a degree, and not that I needed it, but just to and I went down a different pathway, and I went down the pathway, instead of building, of becoming a building consultant. Now that may involve project management, might involve dispute resolution or writing expert court witness reports for building disputes, a wide range of things. But most of my work is these days writing reports for tribunal or courts, or for the builder or the tradie or for the homeowner or for the developer or whoever. They generally have got to be an impartial report, because you're an officer. When you're engaged with them type of reports, you've got to abide by the code of the courts, and so they're an impartial report. Okay, so even though the owner or the builder or whoever may be paying you, you've got to call it as you see it.
Jeez, mate, do you get much hate mail?
No, but I avoid going to MBA meetings.
They'd have your name on a special list. It's like, Greg
It's a
James, no,
dartboard, I think.
not in
It's a
those shoes,
dartboard.
mate. Not in those shoes.
Greg, I
Yeah,
think you've
anyway.
jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. That's a
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're just sticking to facts, aren't you? You're following the code. It's just facts that
That's
you're reporting on.
all you're doing. And look, whenever I talk, and you know yourself, you build something and you build it to what you believe is the right way. Now, the code and standard doesn't always fit what you're doing, but everything always has an ongoing effect. There's always a wave action after something you do. So whatever you do up front, you're going to make sure it's okay, continuing forward.
Greg, I'd love to understand the motivation for the change for you.
Okay, back probably 20 years ago, and I won't say too much because cost me a lot of money, and I sort of hated the guy. I did an extension, and about a year and a half, and the bloke, I looked after him, did it very cheap for him because he was managing a couple of properties. Being a builder, you needed to keep a few properties, even though you're always in debt. He kept properties just for home warranty insurance, have assets and things like that. Well, I did just a cheap extension, bearers and joists, straight out the back end. Anyway, where I joined onto the existing building, I put a tile joint in the tile floor and tiled into the existing kitchen, did no other work in that existing kitchen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a year and a half later, I get a phone call and the bloke says, come back. So I went out and had a look at the floor. He'd put a rusty old dishwasher in. You can see the stain. The floor was clapping. The particle board flooring was saturated. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I called an engineer over and said, just detail that for me, just so. And the bloke said, look, I want to rip it all up and put floorboards throughout the house. So I said, yeah, mate, look, I'll do the floorboards for you. You supply them. You clean it all up. I'll just come and lay them for you. So he's getting a few grand for nothing. And he ended up about a year later, he took me to, at that time in New South Wales, it's called the CTTT. Mm-hmm. Anyway, then a senior building inspector come out and it was all good. He wouldn't let the engineer stay, which was, again, against the rules. So I didn't know the rules. Again, I was not educated. Mm-hmm. Because I'd never been put in that situation before. And all I can say is a builder or a tradie is ever gets a call from Fair Trading, go and know your rights. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I get this rectification order in the mail, which we didn't agree to on site. And this bloke, you've got to remember, was a senior building inspector. And so I took it, the owner, to the tribunal. Because I thought I was in the right. Anyway, then what ended up happening, I get a phone call from another Fair Trading inspector. I'm coming out to re-inspect the works. So at the time, I was a member of the HIA. So I ran down to Sydney and I seen the solicitor down there. He rings the second building inspector and says, you know, you're coming out to do an inspection. He goes, yes. He goes, you know, that's against the law. He said, because this bloke has put this in front of the tribunal. And it straight away goes, I'm only doing as what I've been instructed by my senior building inspector. So then we ring the senior building inspector and he goes, no, I give no such instruction, right? So that case cost me near $150,000 for someone either not doing their job properly, and then that was sort of what it left a really thing. So don't get me wrong, I'm not a tradie advocate. I am not an owner advocate. If I come out and look at a job, it is looked at, have you built that as per the code or the standard? And that is it. But that was my motivation. I thought, my God, you worked your butt off for one person sitting in a government job to that could change your and that, you've got to remember, that was right on in the middle of a global financial crisis, in the middle of where every other state was booming ahead. New South Wales, where it should have been, was in a recession, especially the Sydney and Central Coast areas. Mm. So, yeah. So, again, as I'll make clear, I'm not an advocate, but I just thought there's got to be a better, you put your money up, you put your material, you put labor up, you put everything out there as a builder or a trade, and and it's always on the line. So, but again, as I make clear, I'm not, if it's not built right, it's not built right. But if you are right, you are right. You know, so, yeah, that's a bit of the motivation.
I'm sorry that happened, Greg. Sadly, it's an all too familiar tale. Red tape gets in the way, unfortunately, of some very good intentions, and can create some pretty disastrous impacts on many families.
See, what people don't understand, I'll make this point. I had a young family now, and it is the money, but it's the impact of the money they take you, because you're going working 7 days a week, 12, 13, 14, 15 hour days to try and survive. Mm-hmm. And It's the time they take from your families, you know, and different things like that. People don't understand that impact on that side of it. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Greg, then when we think about builders and tradespeople in general, we all have a code to adhere to and some standards that we must adhere to. And yes, there's some differences between the states, so we're just speaking quite generally today.
Correct.
You and I were discussing off air that I don't believe there's enough opportunity for education for the trade space to be abreast of the changes. And we've seen some pretty significant, actually hugely significant changes come into the code over the last couple of years for all states. Well, actually one or two have not adopted all of them, but it's really created a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty, and a real lack of education. I see that gap getting bigger and bigger when it comes to the trade space around what it is that they're meant to be doing and what they're actually doing. And I wonder from your perspective, given that you are sitting in a pretty unfortunate situation of seeing how it goes wrong from one perspective or another, do you believe there is enough education in this space for the trades so they can understand those changes as they're coming through?
I think that I believe there is training organisations out there that will, obviously you've got to pay to go and get the training, and they're there like your master builders, your HIA and other industry mobs that will offer that training. But I also think it goes back a little bit further, and agree or disagree with this, but when I did my builder supervisor's course to obtain my builder's license, it was 3 years, three nights a week at TAFE, right? Now, people go, in different training organisations now, you can do that 6 weeks, right? So one of the biggest areas that also is a fall down for a lot of builders is the estimating side, right? And in saying that, in defence of a lot of builders and trades, the way the prices jumped in the last few years and escalated, and a lot of people are on fixed price contracts and that, and they've all taken a hit in that respect. But I think it also goes back that the training is there, but I also think that it's probably more people have got to be more going, instead of putting it to the back burner, going, oh, I'll get to that. They've got to make more of an effort to get to these training and do it and get their 12 points a year minimum. You know, and saying that, it is so hard. You're always busy. You're always, you're always trying to, on site, trying to get the last thing done. Running to the hardware to load up for the next morning or whatever, you know. So, but it is hard. But, yeah, the way you learn is being around people that are doing it. And so if you're a builder or a tradie, quite often you're fairly isolated and stay in your own lanes. You know, you're not near a lot of other. So networking is fairly important item as well. But, yes, I do believe there is training out there, but you've got to probably go and source it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Greg. I think that training's available. A couple of problems are we're expected to pay for it. And then if we try to, you know, on-sell some of that costing to our clients, that everybody's up in arms because we're far too expensive. And it makes it a difficult paradigm for a trade person to be able to get the education that's required. Instead of, I think that the government could absolutely provide this education at no cost. They're putting in these grand wholesale changes that have huge impacts on sectors, in fact, at the moment, all sectors of the community. And the onus is always on us. And it's the same in all areas of government, unfortunately. Yeah. The onus is on us as business owners and tradespeople to understand these changes, but we're not given the support that's required to be able to consume, understand, educate our team, and then move forward in that, because we don't have the time. There's not enough money. There's no community support. It's just this consistent, unfortunate, negative circle. And I feel as though more can be done. I don't think that's a problem we can solve today. But even some of our organisations can definitely be assisting. The HIA, MBA, this, and all of the others for the supplementary trades could definitely be supporting their members with this kind of education available for free at a time that's very consumable for them, or even on demand would be a great first step. It's a great point. I love that we're able to dig into some of this stuff today, because I think, unfortunately, it's the stuff behind the scenes that nobody's hearing about. And unfortunately, I've used that word lots of times. Let's call it for it is, for what it is. They find themselves having to talk to somebody like you, Greg, because they're caught in a dispute, because they're caught in this situation where they didn't have enough of the knowledge to be able to create something to code or to standard as required. And then we end up in this really horrible situation like you've experienced. It's not very particularly nice at all. Greg, what's the easiest way for people to avoid falling into a situation like you would so often see?
Look, one of the worst things from a builder or trade point of view is their paperwork, okay? Their documentation leading into a contract, okay? Now, if I go out to a building dispute, either for the builder or the trade or for the owner or developer, first stuff I look for is the contract documents. Okay. Now, I guarantee, example, I went and looked at a job the other month, and it was a landscaper, and he his quote was to landscape backyard this amount of money. Now, at the end of the day, I go, the owner supplied all the pavers, didn't they? And the issue is with the pavers because they're a third quality paver, and we're trying to do this. Where's your paperwork? Where's the co-? Oh, that's all I got. Now, we ended up having a good result in that job, but I had to delve pretty deep and find in, you know, trying to prove the other, you know, dismiss the other side's case.
Mm.
And he actually came out on the good side, but he wasn't entitled to come out on the good side because he should have had at least a detailed quote as a minimum. And in that quote, it should have said every item that he was going to do. And because they tried to pin him for a lot of other things, and it was only through other correspondence that were unable to prove that he wasn't part of his works. So, yeah, it comes down to paperwork. You know, builders in their contracts, they don't know what documents form the contract. You know, what plans they've worked off, their quote, does their quote form part of the contract? And another thing some builders do is they won't write down the level of the PC item. So they either don't give a price against the PC item, you know, to say that this toilet is worth so much money, or this toilet is from this particular range, model range. They just go supply a toilet. Now, that could be a gold toilet. No one knows.
Mm.
So they could be up for, they don't do the detail in the paperwork.
Mm.
And it's the same as you're going along in a job. You know, so a client says, yeah, oh, you're knocking up the frame there. Can I move that door 5 foot that way? And you go, yeah, not a problem. You move that door 5 foot that way. At the end of the job, they go, oh, it doesn't fit where I wanted my furniture. Oh, that's a defect.
Mm.
And it is a defect because unless you go and get them to sign the plan and initial or sign it on a beer coaster, who cares that they wanted that moved or send an email? You know, there's no paperwork to say that was, even though it's a negative variation, there's no cost, there's no, that trade or builder earns up for the cost of putting that back. Because they haven't detailed it, so it's all in the paperwork.
I think we hear so many examples of this through our clients, unfortunately, because they're still learning and improving their systems. And in a lot of ways, Greg, I feel like sitting here listening in because you know, I was hoping that you and Nick would have a punch up as a builder and an ex builder who's now a building consultant. So I was just kind of standing back and cheering you on. But in reality, we're all kind of singing from the same hymn book here. That's a hell of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Because I actually feel like with a lot of this stuff, you know, people get into the trades because they're not great with paperwork or written communication or
they're good with their hands,
systems and all that sort of stuff. You know, they get into the trades because they love doing stuff with their hands. They're good at that visual learning, the kinesthetic side of things. My old man was the same, you know, left school at 14 and obviously went into working with his hands. And then the way things have moved over the last 30, 40, 50 years is that's no longer a sustainable pathway because we have so much legislation. I reckon the construction industries and trades is worse than my background of finance and tax. The law, at least the people going into tax and finance and some of those industries, it's a red tape minefield working with ASIC and the ATO and APRA and some of those organizations, but you kind of know that going into it because it's taught at the start. And so we still have people entering the trades through this pathway that includes no decent education around the stuff that brings people unstuck. And then we sit there and go, well, the builder hasn't educated himself, or the landscaper didn't make themselves aware of the code or the money ramifications with taking deposits that are outside of what contract states you can. Mm. And we're asking giraffes to climb friggin' trees. Look, that's the expectation. And then government stands back and says, well, ignorance is no defense. You need to go and educate yourself. And I just wonder how the hell this is ever going to change.
Well, as I said, mate, that to get your builder's license or your, I think it's CERT 4, is it now, the builder's license in New South Wales. Again, mate, that used to be a three-year course, three nights a week. It is down to, in different places, 6 weeks online. So the defence that, unfortunately, that builders say, well, no, I didn't know the code or I'm not getting educated. Unfortunately, when you sign on the dotted line for the builder's licence and you sign up, that's what you're signing up for, So it's the harsh reality, and that's the bottom line. So
I have a very shiny tinfoil hat in my bottom drawer here, and if I just pop it on for a second, I reckon it's a conspiracy to destroy the small operators in the industry.
100%.
Well, I won't disagree with you, and I won't agree with you. All right.
I reckon they're trying to clean up the industry, get rid of all of the small to medium operators, and make it all about tier ones.
Yeah. Look, you're probably you're more than likely, especially the class two works, that's where it's heading, more than likely, which is unit development and all that stuff. Mm. Look, one of the big house builders, for example, in the Newcastle area and up, all over New South Wales and that, I know he engages a building consultant to go and do training courses for his org men, So because he's got involved in where they've been getting their building disputes coming up, where they're getting all their defects arising from. Mm-hmm. So he's put together a seminar for them guys to train. Okay, once you've poured your slab, you are now and check the floor, and the slab levels all the way around. Mm-hmm. And if it varies by more than 10 metres per room, well, you ought to rectify that straight away. Doing different things along that lines. So that's a big builder and he can afford to do that because he knows he's got the turnover, he's got the money. The small bloke is, he's got to rely on going to training courses, group training courses, or doing different things along that lines. But unfortunately, it's the legislation you've got to keep up, I see some bad stuff out there.
For sure.
Right? And you can normally start to tell when a builder's living off cash flow, right, from job to job, and that cash flow starts to dry up. And you see where, you can see then the quality just goes down and down and down,
I also feel, and look, we are absolutely advocates of tradies here at Tradies in Business on the podcast and through our program, the Tradiepreneur program, of course. That's what we do. It's part of Nick's and my values, and part of helping people, I think, is also getting them to make better choices for themselves. And for those of you listening to this episode, you're obviously already a tradie, or perhaps you're thinking about getting into the trades. We have a lot of people who listen to the show that are thinking, I want to start my own plumbing business, or I want to, go out as a builder or whatever it is. I think at that point, Somewhere the individual has to take responsibility for, okay, what's involved in this decision? You know, you wouldn't go and decide to suddenly become a tax agent without going and doing the study and the qualifications. No one in their right mind would do that. It just doesn't happen. Well, maybe it does, but only people who are out to rip people off and they get their just desserts. But nobody just naively goes, oh, I'm going to start giving investment advice for money without getting the appropriate qualifications and licensing. And yet when it comes to the trades, somehow there's this generational thing that's been created. And maybe it's because of where they came from, where my old man never had a ticket, but he was building houses and putting up industrial sheds in the 80s. But unfortunately, the industry has moved and government has gotten involved, which is never a good idea. But individuals haven't actually taken any more responsibility. And then they just do this whole, like you're saying, Greg, well, I didn't know about that. Or, you know, I didn't know I had to learn about this. It's like, well, what did you think? You bonehead? Like, you just go out and buy a hammer and a frigging nail gun and you're a builder? That's not how it works.
No. And don't get me wrong. Even when I was a builder, I never kept up in certain areas. You know, like you think you were, but you weren't. You know, so I'm not trying to be a preach anything. You've asked the question, and I've just given you my honest answer.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, that's just an opinion. You know, it's not. And when you know, like as I say, you know, when you see a good builder and he's been hammered for no good reason, and you go, oh, great. You know, like at the end of the day, you don't, as I say, I'm not a client advocate in any form. It's got to meet a code and it's got to meet a standard. Right. But you go, well, no, he's done the right thing there. And, you know, look, I had one builder who was being sued 6 years later for $700,000. And I went and looked at the job and I go, well, no, that's a, you know, because there's major and minor defects. And, you know, they're going, oh, the windows are leaking. Commercial paid, you know, a couple hundred grand for the windows. But there was an architect involved.
And there's your first problem.
But there's a thing called the Designer Practitioners Act now,
right?
And it makes architects accountable, right?
Hallelujah. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That is the most exciting thing I've heard for a long time.
Yeah. I'll tell you one little story, and you might like this, Nick. I built six units for this bloke, for four Greek solicitors, right? Anyway,
sounds like a pub story.
From a Western Sydney suburb, and I built them on the Central Coast. Anyway, this architect had knocked up the plans for these six units. I found out later, like over a night, you know, because it was all computer, you know, off a rivet program.
Yeah.
Anyway, I knew the engineer pretty good who did all the hydraulic engineer drawings, and I rang him once, a dead flat site, and I said, Graham, I've got to put a meter of fill across this. I work off your levels, your grades. And he goes, yeah, the architect, I asked him for months for the levels, wouldn't give me the levels. So I went back to the architect. This is my big, one of my biggest mistakes. So this is what I mean. This is architect. So I had about six jobs through him. And he goes, Greg, I'll look after you. Just get it. Just we'll sort it, mate. Just get it. So I did that. Cost me a fortune. You know, I'm owed 100 and something grand, get down to the final payments, and then the developers weren't happy because the architect tried doing, it's more about the finishes, not the quality of the finishes, but the picking of the colour selections and that.
Yep.
Anyway, next minute, the architect has held up all my payments on all six jobs, okay, for a month. I employed 20 people. And he's held up all my money. I go and see him in his office, wouldn't see me. Ring him, wouldn't answer his call. Months later, I get a phone call from the secretary, his secretary, and she says, meeting on site tomorrow, be there. So I went to the meeting. I was about to walk, last bloke to walk in the door before him. He taps me on the shoulder and he says, you say anything in this meeting, I'm going to hold your payments up for another month.
Oh, gosh.
Right? And I thought, okay. I went into this meeting and going, oh, bugger you. I'm going to give it, you know, go, you know, standing up the four of these Blake Greek boys. And they just, one of them just absolutely, I couldn't even get a word in. He's just going off. Anyway, a couple of years later, I ran into one of them at the hospital. One of my boys had went up there with a broken wrist, and I was up in the emergency with him, and he was there for his mother. And he goes, "Greg, why didn't you ever proceed suing us?" And I said, "Well, you only would have moved the properties out into your family other names. There was only six of them. There was four of them in it. They had the money behind them." And he goes, "You know, we weren't after you. We're after the architect. We threatened to sue him." But that's what, and that's what happens. Your finances are on the line. Your livelihood's on the line.
Absolutely.
Everything you own is on the line. And it comes down to one bloke trying to cover his ass.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that's a different spill on it. That's different.
I think we're creating more problems for people than we're solving here today in this episode.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying
everyone's going to be off to the pub after this one.
Yeah. But that is different things that have been out there over the years that people out of you've got a contract. It doesn't mean much because you've got a bloke who's controlling that contract with trying to protect his ass from being sued.
That's exactly right.
Anyway.
All right, Greg. Yeah. So let's see if we can turn this ship around. We're currently headed for the rocks. But, mate, what would you say I'll put you on the spot here. Your top three things that you think tradies in general need to do or change in order to avoid some of these scenarios?
Mate, one is their paperwork when they're coming into signing a contract or having a quote accepted to do work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. The other is knowing that being up to date on all their pricing. When I say that, it's a matter of you can go out and get a price off a trade to do work or ring up a supplier, but just know your individual costing, how to estimate, know what's in your project, but detail what's in your project, and also if it's not included, state it's not included. And third is education on all the changes, because in New South Wales, especially in the last couple of years, made big changes to Class 2 developments,
mm-hmm.
Unit blocks, etc. But now that's coming into Class 1,
mm-hmm.
which is your normal domestic home, okay?
Mm, yep.
So the Fair Trading Commission is now starting to go around to some of the house mobs, and start to try and set a standard there. So... but again, I see some pretty appalling things, and nothing worse than you see a young couple, we've got three kids under 10 living in the middle of COVID in their mother's one-bedroom unit with the mother-in-law because the builder has gone to another job and won't come and finish off their job, because he's chasing money. Or cash, to finish it off, So then they have to move back into the house without an occupation certificate, set up an outside toilet and an outside shower in the middle of winter just because they can't afford.
Mm.
They can't afford the other side of it. They can't afford to live anywhere else because they've got a mortgage, they've got everything. So that's the other side. That's the impact you can have on families and just Joe Bo people. And then you've got bigger people out there who just set out to rip good people, rip off good trades, I'm not paying for that, But it's all detailing what you're doing. And if you do a variation, whether it's a no-cost variation, a negative variation, or there's get it in writing, I think HIA and Master Builders put out a triplicate book of variations on site. You can just write it there and then.
Yeah.
And even if you say it's done on a cost plus basis,
Love it, Greg. And I'm sitting here smirking away because these are the issues that, although Coxie and I are not building consultants or legal advisors or anything, a lot of basic business
legal
systems, but a lot of people think you need to be at that level to make change. But the reality is a lot of basic business systems that we teach in our Tradiepreneur program take care of all of this stuff. The education on specific codes and stuff is not solved through any business system. And yet our clients have the time to go and educate themselves because they're following the other business systems around their estimating and their money collection and the way they manage their team. So you know, you don't have to be super cluey. They're very simple things that you can put in place, and it takes care of a lot of what Greg's talking about here, gang. So if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Prevent it rather than fix it. And prevention looks like setting your business up the right way. Greg, any final words before we wrap up?
I see good and bad out there, and it's nothing worse than seeing good trades or builders getting hammered. But again, they've got to make sure they're building to the codes, because, you know, like when we come and look, it's got to be either to the code or standard. So they've got to know it. And it is, there's always reasons why you might not go off. You might change that. So, example, one of the biggest things in New South Wales under the Home Building Act, if an owner changes something and says, or an architect goes, I want to use this product, and you say to that architect verbally, it's not the right product for the, for, you know, it's weather, it's, you know, it's not good for weather, it's not good for whatever, put it in writing. Yep. Put it in writing, because you're still guilty, right, under the Home Building Act, under Clause 18B, blah, blah, right, because you haven't put it in writing, basically. So if it's all in your paperwork, unfortunately, and it is, you know, like, and I was never good at paperwork, you know. But the reason why most solicitors and barristers like me is because I do come from the trade, but I also have a uni degree. Not that, but I will look at a job and I will go through a job and I'll see why, you know, I've had, you know, we'll look at it. Why has it been built like that? Why, you know, has he done this? You know, has the trade, him or her, done, why have they done that, you know? And it's not about, as I say, it's not being a client advocate for the builder or for the owners. It's about whether you've built to a code or a standard, and whether they're, and if you've stepped outside of that, have it detailed and signed by the owner why. And just remember also, if you get, like in New South Wales, if you get called into NCAT, this is not legal advice. There's, you know, seek legal advice on everything. Generally, if you're under a matter of 30 grand, you won't get your costs back. So if you're getting into a dispute with a homeowner, think of big picture rather than, oh, he's got me. And a 2 grand item, which your pride might get in the way of fixing, right, could easily turn into a 50 grand court case.
Yep.
That if someone like me comes in, you know, and starts to go through a building, you know, I check falls on bathroom floors. Now that's all changed in the last couple of years. Since 2021, the new waterproofing codes come in, which actually states falls in bathroom, even outside the shower, must be 1 in 100, you know. So different things like that, you know. So, for example, if your plans construction certificate was approved in New South Wales under the building code, or no, under the Australian building code, sorry, before the 1st of May was approved in 2019, before the 1st of May, after the 1st of May, a new building code come out. Well, I wouldn't use that building code. I use the previous building code to see what standard and tolerances you should have built to, right? Yeah. So there is a system in place when you start to analyze or look at buildings that you've got to go through. So, but again, it is up to the builder or trade to make sure they're building to a code or standard and know that standard, unfortunately, but that there is no, under the Section 18B of the Home Building Act, there is no getting out of that.
No, and I think that message has come across loud and clear today, Greg. And your 3 points, I think, absolutely nail that, no pun intended.
Yeah.
So, listeners, listen up. You've been told.
Oh, not by me, mate. But look, if I turn up, or anyone that does what I do turns up. Now, a lot of the consultants have uni degrees and never worked in the trade, you know, like never come through the trade. So quite often, different things. They may assess something different to how I would assess it, because sometimes you don't know the ins and outs of how that quite goes together. You know what I mean? So it's always, so you could always don't let your pride get in the way of if you can compromise something out sometimes, always better to compromise than go down a battle, you know, of legal. All
take
right.
A lesson and move on.
Learn for the next one, change the paperwork. Yeah.
Thanks heaps for your lessons and your time today, Greg. Yeah. And thanks for sharing it with our listeners.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warwick. Appreciate it.